Now we are. Yeah. Guys, I'm so sorry, yeah, but I'm so hungry. I'm not going to wait. Can I eat as in the first part of this?
This is the first time you've done this, so do your thing.
It depends what you're eating.
I'm having some sea bass and some veg.
That could go on.
So I'm having...
I was going to say no.
Yeah, you don't want to see my hands on that.
You know them when they go like this, because round about and up.
If you're going to be talking with that mask on, you need to speak louder.
Say nothing.
Give the people more.
Say that one more time.
A bit more, you know, pronunciation.
Okay, sorry, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Welcome. It's been a while.
Yeah. I'm glad to be back. Thank you for having me back. It has been a while. All
right. Gretchen, are you playing computer games whilst you're chatting to us?
No, what I'm going to do is I'm trying to load up, cut the chat on the thing as well on the YouTube Live.
The interference. All right, go on, but make sure you turn it
down. No, I'll turn it down. Yeah. I'll turn it down. I ain't a rookie.
Just mute it. That's what I do. I do it. So you can see.
What's been going on in the Montserratian world? What's happening?
Nothing. There you are. As you can see, I'm still free, so I ain't had no more altercations at the traffic light or nothing like that. So, you know what I'm saying?
would you be if you weren't free?
What I did for what?
What else would you be if you were not free?
Imprisoned for me.
Hey, thank you.
Without freedom. Without freedom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he does this. Anyway, Femi, how's your week been?
Good, man. It's been all right. It's been busy. Always busy. But, you know, we thank God for busyness. You know what's confusing? Some people might not know who Monster Ration is.
What do you mean?
In regards to, he's not been on one of our YouTube lives before.
No, he hasn't.
I have. What are you talking about? I have.
No.
Yes. You might need to take better care of your special guests. I've been on before briefly, just like this, rocking a mask. A man asked me why you're rocking a mask. And I told them it's because I'm scared of the I think it was the Brazilian variant at that time. Now it's the Indian variant.
It's not the Indian variant, we call it the Delta variant, by the way.
I call it what it is, bro. Just like Trump.
All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Cut the Chat. Ace is driving somewhere. Lee is probably driving somewhere because that's his job.
I need to wipe my lens, apparently.
Damon has got light reflecting on his camera from a picture.
All right, that's better. Yo.
And it's much clearer now.
4K and that. 4K.
And today we've got Montserration, who is apparently going to wear a mask for the whole thing because doesn't want people to recognize his face.
No, I haven't had my jabs.
He's a friend.
I haven't had my jabs.
He's a friend of the podcast and he's clearly very funny.
I haven't had my jabs and I don't intend to. So until then, I have to wear this.
Why are you not having your jab?
Because I'm black.
I know a lot of black people that have had their jobs.
Good luck to them.
Are you genuinely never going to have the jab?
I don't think I'm going to have this one. I don't have the flu one anyway, to be fair. So, like, I consider myself fit and healthy. And, yeah, I'm just going to go through and take my chances, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Like, nah. Do you know what it is? The whole situation around this thing, yeah, it's just too rushed. Like, I just don't know. And the way the vaccine came into existence so quick, and like these things take 5 to 10 years to come into production and go out into our arms, yeah. And I know they're trying to say obviously like they had multiple things going on at the same time concurrently. That's why like it was sped up in that year. But still, remember what I do, yeah? And I hear a lot of horror stories, bro. I heard a brother took the jab, yeah? And I don't want to spread no fear. I don't want to spread no fear. Everyone should do what's right for them, like I'm doing what's right for me. But I heard a brother took the jab, got home, and lost the use of his legs for 3 days. He had to call to the phone to call for assistance, brother. Another woman had the jab. She lost her whole left side, dead, for a week.
I mean, I don't really want to spend much time talking about who's taking it and who's not taking it. Like, whoever wants to take it, take it. This is very much like voting, isn't it? It's just like, it's something that we don't really talk about. We don't really ask people who you voted for. It's just a personal thing. You're always going to hear horror stories. Well, go on, Lee. Always going to hear horror stories. But, you know, cool is what it is. You wanted to talk about Ollie something, Monster Asher.
Yeah, that, what's his name? Ollie Robinson, the cricketer.
Okay, what about him?
So basically, he's a cricketer. Well, go on, Lee. He's a cricketer, yeah. Up and coming. And I think he just got onto the England team or whatever, had a fantastic debut match. But in the background, behind this, while the sport's being played, some of his earlier tweets from like 10 years ago when he was like 18 and that, they've surfaced. And they're coming out like some Islamophobic tweets, some sexist tweets and some racist tweets, like where he's using the N-word and all of this type of stuff. So now there's a big debate. What should happen to his career? Is it right that they're going after him like from tweets when he was like 18, 10 years ago and that when they're saying he was a kid and your brain's not fully formed until you're 23 and all of this. Brother, like the way I'm listening to the debates here and they're so quick to shut it down like, oh yeah, he said some racist stuff and like he said some sexy stuff, but he was a kid. Like, oh, like we should just forget about it. Bro. You see BLM?
So I heard the argument, yeah. And the first thing I thought is, you see the media and certain people in this country, they're happy to turn a blind eye if it benefits them. And we've seen this over the years with football. When it comes to any form of England performance, if there's a guy or a sports person that, if they're not in the squad, will be more of a hindrance to the team. They're very happy to turn a blind eye. But on the flip side, you know, this is his first appearance for England. And obviously, once again, it's like somebody's just sitting there waiting for him to bust before they release these tweets. Do you know what I mean?
What did he actually say?
Say it again?
What did he actually say?
I'm not by a computer, so I can't really Google nothing. But I'm
Russian. Sure. How bad were these tweets?
Damon, I can only get a wagwan.
What?
I did, you know what? I did give you a wagwan, but you was walking into your cab.
I said wagwan.
Anyway.
Wagwan, Russian. Russian. You cool?
I'm blessed, my brother. You?
Not too bad, man.
Love every time, my guy.
Always. Listen. Let the man live, man. He said it 10 years ago, man. Walk.
No. Do you want to know why? Because, listen, you see here. Yeah.
Go on.
You just can't stir the pot now. You can't let this thing live. You know, brother, listen. You see when England played the other day and they took the knee? You know they got booed for taking the knee, right?
Yeah.
Whole argument is, get over it. Get over it. You know, I heard one person say, the brother that killed George Floyd has gone to jail. Why are we still protesting? Are they dumb?
Are they dumb? But in Lee's defense, yeah. And I need to know exactly what this brother said. But like, let's just say
some stuff about the N word and some sexual stuff.
I wonder if Asian people put smileys like this, and he did two straight lines with a bracket. #racist And he said, my Muslim friend is the bomb. Wee! Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he said, real N words, don't let the microwave hit 000.
That was it.
And what wash your mean? Fingers.
That's not racist, lid. Though. That's not wait, racist. Wait,
what he it, said what the word nigger, bro, is white.
Well, no, but what's that last joke? Real, what?
Basically saying real niggas don't let the microwave. You know, like when you go and get the microwave, you're gonna get the food out of the microwave before it hits beep beep beep.
Oh,
everyone,
yeah.
Everyone does that. So he's saying real niggas don't let the microwave go to zero.
Why? Because we're so hungry to get the food.
No, this is what people do. I don't let the microwave
that's
be
funny
for my
shit. That's oh, funny
yeah, but he's
man.
Not he can't use the M-word, Lee. He can't use the M-word.
And then he said the man next to him on the train had Ebola. It's all a
how old was he when he wrote these tweets?
This is the first I've never heard of him in my life.
He was 14.
17 and 18.
I just think like there's things that there's thoughts and opinions I had when I was 17 that I don't have now that I'm 40.
No, do you know what?
I feel like people should be allowed to change and grow.
I'll be honest with you. There's things I've said yet in a jokey way. When I was that age, I would have been cancelled a long time ago. real talk.
There was things you said last year.
Exactly.
Last every, week.
There was things you said on the last episode. That
trust
you
me.
You feel me? You feel me?
The but, one you know, and done like, episodes.
Like he was. I'm not. Look, I can't tell you what he was on yet. But it was a long time ago, man.
Was it a long time ago? How old is he now?
Ten years ago.
10 years ago.
I think the
brother,
only thing we can't forgive is any underage
listen.
Business. Any underage bro. Business doesn't get forgotten. And any crimes against women can't be forgiven.
Listen. You think like, right now, you as a black man with a criminal record, you go for a job interview, yeah? You think they're going to tell you, oh, forget 10 years ago, bruv. You're in. No. They're going to tell you kick rocks and employ the white guy. You're crazy, bruv.
I just don't want to judge for things that I said or did when I was 18. Because I know I was on fuckery.
No, but this is the madness. Thing. This is the thing, guys. But you didn't tweet these things. You didn't share these opinions publicly.
Exactly.
It wasn't popping then.
Yeah, but it's the thing.
Man, I had a Nokia room.
It's the thing.
Man, I saw you on some fuck you on Sunday. But that was in private.
Man was on Facebook.
Man was on Facebook pick or whatever it was like. It weren't even MySpace.
No, I was on Black Chat.
You know what I'm saying? No, but my point is, like, I feel like as teenagers, you should be allowed to fuck up. I feel like when you're a teenager, you should be allowed to fuck up and do. So I need to stop swearing. We're live on YouTube. You should be allowed to say, actually, not say the madness. You shouldn't be allowed to be racist. I get it. And there should be accountability. But I just feel like you can't really judge somebody for even their opinion at that age. I think it's too early.
The thing is, what Montserrat's saying is, and the thing is, maybe I can't speak for Montserrat. I don't disagree with you, Ace. I believe that there should really be a time limit. Do you know what I mean? Like there should be a length of time where your slate gets wiped clean. You know, and I was thinking about this earlier on in the week, and I was thinking, is it 5 years? Is it 10 years? You know, but then
I don't think it's the amount of time. I think it's the age.
No, what I'm saying to you, well, look, at the end of the day, things change in people's lives, isn't it? So even at the age of 30, your opinion at the age of 30 is based on your surroundings and your current situation, where you live, where you work, all of that kind of stuff. If you've moved areas, so let's say you've moved from, let's say, Eltham, which we know isn't a particularly multiculturally friendly area, to a Tottenham or a Hackney or whatever, and your eyes have been opened and you're like, you know, it's gonna play a part in how you think. It really is. Do you know what I mean? So age-wise, I don't want to keep it to age because people of all ages can change their opinions as they get older or as time goes on. So for me, I think, you know, if it was a year ago, 2 years ago, that was only the other day. 5 years, maybe 10 years, yeah, I think we can wipe that clean. But I think what Montserrat is saying is, look,
what if they're 40 and they said it 10 years ago they were 30?
Yeah, but A, it depends what they say, and B, look, we can look at people. You like all of these people are going to be of a certain profile, yeah. So you can probably look at their last 3 to 5 years on social media and be like, okay, we can see that through his behavior that is documented through social media that he clearly doesn't have these views anymore. Do you know what I mean? You know, so
if you're...
Yeah, but listen. See the angle that I'm coming at, yeah? Is he tried to be funny with Twitter. He wasn't directly being out, like, obviously he was being racist, yeah? But he wasn't being aggressive with it. He was trying to be funny with it. So how do we know? Like, look, I'll put it out there. I've said some things to get a reaction to, like, a certain person. Do you get what I'm saying? Back in the day. But it was just to get, it doesn't mean, I wasn't racist. What I said was racist. I'm not a racist. But what I said was racist.
Lee.
What I said was wrong.
I'm not a racist.
I hear what you're saying, but this is the
thing. You get what I mean?
This is the thing with humor, and you use racism to make people laugh. Yeah, and I can't remember who said it, but you see all of that stuff there. You see, if you can't say it in a room full of black people, then
but maybe
don't.
You could
say
do,
it.
But maybe you could do it.
Look at
Eddie Murphy Raw, all that homosexual stuff. He can't say it now. He said it back in the day. It was when it was of his time, innit?
There's a cancel culture now.
What I'm saying, yeah, is you see this racism thing. There's such a thin line, bro. Do you know what I mean? Like, I guarantee, I don't think there's a single person on the planet who is not black that doesn't know if you run that joke, you're going to offend a lot of people. But at least what people do on social media, because they've got the computer to hide behind. You're not going to do that in you're not going to shout that out in a restaurant or whatever. Or walk into a barbershop. Hey, lads, listen to the joke. What?
I think we all have white friends, yeah, that have said something racist, but you know they're not racist. Yeah, but they've said something racist. You're like, right, you can say that around me because you know me. But Lee, boy, you say that around the wrong people, you're going to get a beat down.
But there's a difference. And
why is that different?
I'm going to tell you why it's different. Because, okay, let's say we all do have white friends that have said something that, you know, whatever. They know that it's just between me and you. They know it's between me and you. They're not going to go home and tweet that joke. They're not going to go do that because they know the boundaries. They know.
Yeah, but when he was tweeting these things, he probably was getting the reaction he wanted at the time. It's only now we're going backwards and looking at people's tweets where we say, "Oh, you can't say that. You can't say that." But at the time, he probably didn't get rasped up enough to know.
Yeah,
because if he did, he would have deleted them. No.
The thing is, yeah, and I'm with Ace. You see, once you put things out there on the internet.
Yeah. We know that because we're an older generation, though. These young bucks, they're not ready. They think that they could just do what they want and whatever, and there's no repercussions. I know what I can. That's why I don't tweet. That's why I don't do stuff, because I just think, even like, I'm not very social media savvy, because I just think I'm very borderline. And there are times that you men have told me, Lee, you can't say that. Lee, we have to delete that. Lee, so I just don't bother with it because I'm just used to say it. But these kids, they don't know no better until they get pulled up.
You know what, Lee? It's not even that. Like, I wasn't part of it, but I was told that, like, 10 years ago, and I'm sure people in the chat will agree with this, and Femi, I'm sure you know as well, like, 10 years ago, maybe even a little bit more, Twitter was a wild place. There was no rules. Man, them could say anything. Like, people were going at each other. There was colorist jokes. There was man versus woman jokes. There was light skin versus dark skin. There was like homosexual. There was just whatever you people wanted to say to get a reaction and a retweet, they were saying. Obviously, we're in a day now where you can't do that. So I just feel like, I don't feel like this brother's racist. I feel like he said dumb things when he was 18 to get a reaction of people, and now he's paying for it. But I also feel like at that age, I don't feel like you should be judged for things that you said or opinions that you have. I think if you can't even vote, then why should we care about it? Why should we care about what you said? I don't know, maybe that should be the rule. I don't know. But
you know what it is? I just think there needs to be accountability.
Who's got their phone on?
Who's got something on?
Make him pay a hedge fine.
I don't even think it's about the fine. I just think there needs to be accountability, and we need to
come out and say sorry. I was dumb when I was young. That's it.
We know what he did say sorry, and he did.
He already got let go from one cricket club for the same thing, you know, for this already.
Oh yeah.
And he didn't delete his things after that.
at a county level, he got dismissed from a county level. Like, you know, you play county, yeah, for this. Well, he got dismissed at around this time, but no one knows if it was for this directly. You get me? Certain people saying it is, certain people saying it ain't. And now he's been called up to the England squad, and these things are resurfaced again.
It's probably somebody that just kept them screenshots, you know, and waiting for him to just keep elevating it every time.
But this is the thing, though. For me personally, yeah, and I listen to a lot of, like, talk radio, like, the country's opinion and all that rubbish, yeah? So, for me, it's a bigger picture, bro. It's the way that the country is responding to people's reactions about the tweet. So, us, man, are like, well, me, I'll be offended, yeah? But the white people, them, they're saying, bro, that's nothing. Like, it's nothing. Let it slide. It's nothing. Let it slide. But differently, why are black people, I mean, why are football players taking the knee?
Mm. I just think...
They're just so easy to let it slide. You have to look at the whole bigger thing. Like, him, yeah, cool. His tweets, yeah, cool. But it's the way that people think about what he's done and say, bro, just allow him, it's cool. It's not cool, bro. It's not cool. I don't think it's cool. It's not cool. If he was from London or whatever, I'd say it's pants, but he grew up in one of the rural areas where there ain't many of us around.
That's so interesting.
For me to say, oh, bro, he's not racist. Bro, he's racist because you got caught out.
The danger with your suggestion is because I know what I'm saying at 16 years old, and I know what if I say something at 16, 17 or 18, it might offend people. I know this. 15, 14, I know it might offend. I think the danger with your suggestion is you're just giving people a free pass up until a certain age.
Do you know what the funny thing is? You say that, yeah? But the truth is he probably doesn't know. He probably didn't. If what Montserrat is saying, he lived. He lived in a rural area with not a lot of black people. He probably didn't know that it was offensive.
No, but this is why that should be part of the education. Yeah. This is like we can't excuse people's ignorance at the age of 17. He knew right from wrong at the age of 17. At the age of 17, you can drive a car. Like, do you get what I'm saying? You can join the army.
You can pay taxes.
And
you
so
can also, kill people.
Even if he said that as a child, you know, remember I told you guys a story about a child that was racist to my son at the tennis club. Do you get what I'm saying? So what do? Let it slide. So no. People can just go around calling your son the N-word. Just let it slide because he's young. The thing is, we can't let anything slide because someone said in a group, people want to punish people that make racist comments because they know there are racists walking around up and down the country behaving in racist ways that are not on Twitter, right? That basically will gain confidence if they know that even if they do say stuff like that publicly, it's fine. We just let it slide.
Yes. Yes.
The thing is, I say this, but I almost bust someone's head on the train for using the N-word while rapping Notorious B.I.G. Juicy. So maybe I would be offended if I heard him say it. I don't know.
The way my good eye will pop out my head if I heard a white man say that.
We weren't going to.
Are you mad?
What? Everybody was late home that day on the train. No one was
no one
went home, boy, for at least about 45 minutes until the police came.
No, I suppose that the main takeaway is that, you know, as we're raising our kids, white, non-white, white, black, whatever race they are, we need to be conscious of the fact that we need to be educating our kids that when they're using social media, it's not an anonymous space. Mm. You're not anonymous. Do you get what I'm saying? You're held to account. Look at what happened to that woman police officer. They sent her like some dodgy message. She didn't even open it and she was suspended. I think it was a racist thing. I think she was stitched up. But ultimately,
of course she was.
The point I'm trying to make is online, as we're having this conversation on YouTube, we could say what we like, but someone could go dig that up. If like Damon wants to be president of Jamaica, prime minister of Jamaica one day, someone could go dig up. Like, you don't know what the future holds. You don't know where you're going to be in 10 years time, right? Someone could sit there that hates you and sit on Cut the Chat when we find that one statement that you said that could be taken out of context, and it, you're accountable. Everything's accountable. What's that?
That's why I can't blow. That's why I can't blow up. I'm I have to be a hood star. I have to be a hood star. I can't see it working any other way. You haven't said
anything that badly.
Okay.
No, you haven't.
He said some wild stuff.
Bro. Nah, he ain't said nothing cancelable.
Back in the day, I said some mad shit, man.
Cancelable on this podcast.
Right, about 2 episodes ago.
Exactly.
I nearly crashed the van. He said, and I said,
The one and done episode. That episode will never see the light of day.
Right.
One and done, man.
One and done. But yeah, I don't know. What do you think? So he shouldn't be able to play cricket? No,
I don't think he shouldn't be able to play cricket, but I think he needs to be punished in an impactful way. Like, otherwise, because this is the thing, it's like, you know, he needs to. You don't think he should be able to play cricket, Damon?
No, I'm not saying, no, I agree with you. I'm thinking he needs to be punished, and that punishment needs to be a certain percentage of his wage. Yeah, or what he's getting for playing for England or whoever needs to be donated to some form of black charity.
Black Lives Matter.
He said that 10 years ago, and you want to, so you're like, bro. Why can't he? I'm not defending him.
Ace,
but it's just like, it feels Ace. Weird that you're, Ace. That people, he's been punished.
There's by, people that can't go to America because they committed a crime 15, 20 years ago.
True.
Like, the thing is, the minute you do something that is reprehensible in society, you should be punished and ultimately just pay the price. It's like, there's people that are criminals that can't get jobs.
I hear you, but didn't you start this off by saying it's about accountability?
No, but that is accountability.
I don't feel like accountability is like money. I don't think that's it.
No, I'm not. I feel like you can do more. I'm not even saying money, but my point is you need to be held accountable in whatever way it will hurt the most. And like, when you look at people, when you look at the reason a lot of black men are blocked out of employment is because they committed crimes years and years ago. Mm. Or like black men are looked down upon, right? Because historically, one black person that have done something like, you know, slavery from years and years ago, people are still using that to judge black people as being subhuman today. It's not a crime that we committed. Do you get what I'm saying? We're trying to fix society. We're trying to persuade society that we're human beings, yeah? Because during slavery, they were convinced that we weren't. And they still haven't got over it. That's what, you know, like this fight for equality and all of that stuff. That's what it's really about, you know? It's like, it's about black people proving that we're human and we deserve to be treated equally with everyone else. Where did this idea come from? Hundreds and hundreds of years ago from slavery. So, like, you know, if we're like still paying the price for something that we didn't even do, like, do you get what I'm saying? For a mark that has been put on us by others. The idea
man losing a couple shekels out of his wage packet to help black people, come on, that's minor. Yes, for something that you done 10 years ago. Yes, you could turn around and say, yeah, man was young, dumb, ignorant, whatever. As Femi said, bro, there's a lot of black people in jail for doing things that were young, dumb, and ignorant that have had no physical effect on anybody else. No physical effect on anybody else. There's people in jail now for selling weed, but weed's illegal. Sorry, weed's legal in America. Like, nah, be accountable. Pay the price. And keep it moving. Once you pay the price, yeah, because even on the wider thing, yeah, you know, like even with slavery and stuff like that, a lot of people just want an apology and just want things to actually be acknowledged, because it has got to the point, it's like, there's nothing you can physically do to make it better. But just
acknowledge, more than that.
Just acknowledge it happened and apologize, and we could crack on. And you see, with your acknowledgement means that you should start treating people equally across the board.
But do you know what? Do you know
I want
what
48 acres and a mule.
Do you know what else? That's funny. Do you know what else, D? These people need to actively like engage in training, in diversity training. And also, they need to be teaching the future. They need to make commitment to the future generation so that the generation that comes after them doesn't carry on with that behavior. I think it's really important that when you know this fight against racism, it's a white fight as well. It's really important that, that you know, white people...
They don't think so. They don't think so.
No, I'd,
they like, think it's an us problem. Because you're talking about... No, Damon's talking about acknowledgement. Sorry to cut you, fam. Damon's talking about acknowledgement. You want acknowledgement. Brother, crash that. They acknowledge the thing. You want to know why? They say, okay, it happened. Get over it.
You know
so
what?
We need, we're going to need a little more than that, my guy. We're going to need a little more. You get what I'm saying? And Femi's talking about the next generation. Bro, do you know two of my children have been racially abused at school?
Wow.
You know, you remember when I come to with the show, I told you, the white girl called my boy a monkey. Brother.
Yeah.
Brother.
No, but this is what I'm
and
saying.
And my daughter had something the other day. Bro. I can't even remember where it is. But I would just get heated. Nah, it's long.
No, but that tells us we've got work to go. And like what we can't
work
do.
To...
Not that we've got work to do. Right, and
yeah,
people like that have work to do with the future generation, because what we can't do is just like, because what stops that child from carrying on with that language? Their parents, like, do you get what I'm saying? It's a whole movement. It's like the schools, it's their parents, it's like the whole of society needs to make a commitment, and that starts with punishing people like this and not making excuses for them.
How?
I don't know. I don't have all that ideas.
Apologies. It's not down to you. But there needs to be something sufficient. Something with some substance. You get what I'm saying? Because all this other back and forth, it's not working. It's not working. We're still being stopped and searched at a mad rate. We're still being imprisoned at a mad rate. We're still being discriminated against at a mad rate. Like, there's no blacks at the top level in the boardrooms. In charge of major stuff. You know what I'm saying? Even the one police woman who's talking about the other day, bro, they kiboshed her whole thing for messages she didn't even open. Come on, man. They've been branded this whole... look, even a report that came out the other day, yeah? The race report.
What about bro, systemic racism? Not being nervous.
Bro, the way they patterned up that report was a madness.
Yeah, but it was fronted by black people. You know what? There was a tweet that I saw the other day. There was a tweet that I saw that struck me. There was one tweet that I think we should move on. But there was one tweet that said this. It said, during slavery, there were black people that used to snitch on other black people that tried to escape the plantation. And
that's true.
Probably true. And their descendants still live on today. That's all I've got to say about that report. There are black people out there that are selling out black people left, right, and center for their own personal gain.
Yes.
100%. Sorry, I know we don't want to keep talking about race, but are we going to get triggered when the Euros start and footballers start taking a knee and get booed?
Yep. I will. But I'm telling you, I will stay up.
It's going to be an issue.
Why are they booing? Because this is the thing.
So do you feel like they should just stop taking the knee then?
I listened to LBC today. They were discussing the same thing, yeah, about when the English players got booed the other day for taking a knee. Mm. If you hear what some of these people were saying, like, I don't tune in to watch that. Like, nah, why are they taking a knee for? They shouldn't be doing that. It's about football. But basically, what man is saying is, I stand with my black players, yeah, when man is throwing bananas on the pitch. It's unacceptable. And they got a problem with that. If you got a problem with man standing in solidarity with black people to say, this needs to stop, and you got a problem with that, suck your mum. Suck your mum. Suck your mum. Big up your nan.
Big up your nan.
Big up your nan.
Right.
Big up your nan. And have a go at her too. Because this, blood. Listen, bro. This is the country we live in where people are saying, I have a problem that you have a problem with racism. Are you fucking all right?
Doesn't make sense.
It don't make no sense to me.
Don't make sense.
How? How? You built half this fucking country, but you got a problem. You're still calling me king today. Get lost, man.
We do need to move on.
We got a guest. Kaya, can you let the guest in?
You need to move on. How are you? Are you...
Shall we have a vote? Shall we have a vote before we move on? Who thinks he should still play?
There we go. We got a guest. We got two special guests.
Mine is blank, man.
Yeah.
Mine is blank.
Nah, the race thing is getting too heated now. It's too heated.
Can leave the race thing.
All man said is who thinks he should play? And man said, we're going to move on.
We're moving on.
He shouldn't play.
It doesn't look like he's going to anyway. We have some special guests on the show tonight. From the ACLT. These two people are very dear to me, actually. We have Oren and Bear from the ACLT. How are you guys?
Hi, we're fine, thank you. Thanks for having us.
We're good.
Thanks for joining us on the show tonight. Usually we talk nonsense on a Tuesday evening, but we felt like we would give the platform to you guys because something very important is about to happen, right?
Yeah, definitely. We've got a campaign coming up very soon to try and engage the black community and especially black men to do something which is important, vital, and that's to give blood.
Why is it so vital, Oren?
Well, there's a lot of black people out there, especially those who are suffering with sickle cell, a disorder which you mainly find with people from an African and Caribbean background. And they need well-matched blood donations on a regular cycle. They are getting that blood from other people, basically white people, who just happen to have the same blood group as them. But that's okay on a one-time basis. But the more times you need regular blood donations, your ethnicity, your racial background becomes a major factor. And that's where we come in, you know, black people. We try, you know, if we're not regularly giving blood to help those individuals, then long term their quality of life is severely compromised, and it can cause real problems further down the line. So the more of us register and give blood on a regular basis, the more on tap it is available for those people when they need it.
How bad of a situation is it at the moment? Like, how much are we lacking in regards to like our white counterparts? Like, how low is the donation from black people?
Let's put it this way. At any given time, there's about 14,000 to 15,000 black people with sickle who need help. Now,
and on top of that, 300 babies each year are born with sickle cell disease.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and when you look at the amount of, you know, not a percentage wise, less than 1% of blood donors are black. Now, it's a real problem. So the majority of the blood that we need, if we ever need it, is always going to be there, but it's not coming from us. It's coming from people who just so happen to be luckily have the same blood group as us. But like I said, one time is good, but when you start on a second and a third and a fourth onwards, that's when it's critical that you have thousands of black people giving blood on a regular basis, on a monthly basis. That there's a strong need, and people just don't, for whatever reasons, and there are myriad of reasons, black people aren't stepping forward to do the most simplest, you know, the most simplest of donations. We know about bone marrow, we know about organ donation, and there's lots of barriers and things there, but blood donation is a no-brainer. And so we're saying to our people, look, especially our youngsters, we're saying to them, some of our youngsters who are going into areas and shedding blood on the street, and we're saying, don't, you know, let's stop that nonsense. Let's actually give blood where our people desperately need that help. So it's a numbers game, it's a time game, and we call it a silent crisis. There's a severe silent crisis in that community.
So, good evening. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah.
I've seen you two for years at various different events, from comic stand-up comedy shows. You even came to one of our events a couple of years ago, a celebrity charity basketball event, to raise awareness.
Yeah, remember that.
All this. What do you think is the problem You know, do you think there's one problem? Do you think there's various different problems? Why we are still not coming out to give blood? You know, and because as you said, it's something so simple. What does it take? It takes probably 3 hours out of your day from start to finish. And I'm saying that on personal circumstances. So that's leaving your house, getting to the blood donation place, giving blood, eating a biscuit and some drinks that they give you for free, and making your way back home. We're talking 3 hours. And what is it? Is it 3 times a year that you can do it, or 4 times a year?
You're right on both counts. For ladies, it's 3 times a year. For men, it's 4 times a year.
Yeah. But the it's in the actual donation process, Damon, from when they put the needle in your arm and they're taking 470 mils of blood.
Less than a pint.
That takes what? Anything between 5 to 10 minutes, dependent on the person.
Yeah.
The actual process is very quick, but it's life-changing because each unit of blood that's donated saves either 6 babies or 3 adult lives. I mean, it's huge. Right.
Let me stop. So how much blood do they take? They take less than a pint.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just less than a pint. 470 mils of blood.
Right. So out of that 470 mils, how many units of blood are in that 470 mils?
One unit.
That's the equivalent of one unit.
Right, so that's one. So literally every time somebody gives blood, they are saving lives regardless. They're actively saving lives.
Exactly. So, you know, we do blood donation, stem cell donation. When people join the bone marrow register, which is stem cell donation, you join by giving a cheek swab, and you may never actually match someone, right? Because it's like looking for a lottery ticket. For organ donation, you do that when you pass away. So you pass away, rather than putting your organs in the ground or having them burnt to a cinder, you donate your organs to try and help someone. This one is the one that when you donate your blood, you know that that blood is being taken to one of our NHS hospitals somewhere in the UK, and it will go on to save someone's life. What we're trying to say to our community is there are 14,000 sickle cell patients that need blood transfusions or something called blood exchanges. And that basically means that because of the sickles that are in their red blood cells, they completely have to take out their existing blood and replace it with donated blood from someone who's healthy.
Yeah.
But for some, we've been doing this for 25 years and we get people donating. Still a mystery in our community as to why people are not doing it more often. I mean, blood donation can help people who have cancers. Our son, Daniel, he needed blood donations when he was going through leukemia. And at the end of his life, because he had so many problems, he was receiving 3 to 5 units of blood every single week. But because he was getting blood from largely the white community, which we're so grateful for, the blood wasn't matched well enough. And eventually he passed away from multiple organ failure because his body just said, we can't do this anymore. So this one is particularly important to us, because if all we have to do as a community is step forward and say, this is our problem. We have to fix this. We can't rely on any other communities to do this for us.
It is a strange thing that's going on in the psyche of people who come up with a myriad of reasons as to why they should not seriously think about giving blood. And it's our head in. It's, like I say, it's a no-brainer. It's the most simplest form of donation. But we don't, you know, our people just won't step forward at the same rate as any other group. We're at the bottom of the list of numbers. But in terms of demand, we are near the top. We're the top of the list.
We need it the most, but we donate the least. That's really bad.
That is bad. That's terrible. What are some of the what are some of the reasons that you heard? Because working in the barbershop and, you know, speaking to people all day, every day, you know, all of us have you know, either tried to or given blood in our time. And for me, before I did it, I thought it would hurt. I thought, you know, that it would drain so much blood that you can't do nothing for the next couple of days. I thought various things. And one of the things that stuck with me when I'd done it was how silly I felt for not doing it before, because it was so simple. It was so simple. Plus, as I said, you get free biscuit and free crisps. Yeah. Like, you know.
But let me tell you something. It's you ask a question. What is it? And we call them myths and fears and taboos. People think that they're going to be, there's a huge needle that's going to hurt them, to whether the blood you donate is actually going to go to the people that you want it to go to. It's going to be thrown away. All sorts of stuff, research and doing things in labs to affect us, cloning our blood and all sorts of things. And you sort of think to yourself, hold on a second, this is crazy.
But also there are some genuine fears, which we must acknowledge, yeah. Because a lot of people are scared of needles, right? And, you know, we have to be able to understand that people have a genuine fear of needles.
We appreciate that.
And we very much appreciate that. But actually, if people, when they go to give blood, just make it clear to the staff, I've got a real phobia with needles. There are things that they can do to help them along, such as cream on that actually numbs the area where the needle is actually put into the vein, so that they literally don't feel anything.
You know, I've given blood 47 times, and my 48th is coming up next Sunday in Brixton, at one of those sessions that we're doing next weekend. So I'm hoping to get 50, hopefully at the back end of this year. Yeah, hopefully. Now, the best session I went to was the last one I went to in Catford recently, where they did, it's all socially distanced because of COVID and everything, but everyone's socially distanced. And the majority in there were black men. And I was shocked.
Sick.
I was shocked because when I actually videotaped the guys who were waiting, who gave blood, and afterwards when we were having the tea, coffee, and biscuits, I said to them, before and after, what compelled you to come here? And I tell you what, Damon, you said exactly what they were saying. You know, I should have done this a long time ago. You know, I didn't realize the significance of our blood to helping our people. And they said, we need to get this message out to the black men, you know, because they realize how important it is. And it's, there's more people doing it, but it's a slow process and it's taking far, far too long. We're losing a lot of our young warriors to like our son Daniel. You know, it's in the end, not having the well-matched blood was a big factor in us losing him in the end.
You know, this campaign has been brought about because of a young man who was living in Walthamstow. His name was Evan Nathan Smith. And at the age of 21, he lost his life, sadly, when he was in a North London hospital. He had a sickle cell crisis. The team that was looking after him, responsible for his care, were not too familiar with sickle cell. He told them he needed a blood transfusion. He told them he needed oxygen. They refused. There is some inquiries that are going on at the moment, and he sadly lost his life. So ACLT's come together with two other organisations, Black Mums Up Front, Selfie for Life, and also NHS Blood, to organise these special sessions that we're holding on the 19th and 20th of June in London, Birmingham, Bristol and Manchester, which we are hoping to have 700 black people give blood over that weekend. And the hope is that all of those people that register will actually make it a regular three-time, four-monthly occurrence in each year of their lives.
And all we're saying to people is, straight away, ring a hotline number specific for this campaign.
Yeah, to book your appointment.
0300-303-2737. And the people on the other end know exactly why someone's ringing that number. And they will say, right, it's for United by Blood. It's for on behalf of Evan Nathan Smith. Okay, which days do you want? The 19th Saturday or the 20th, the Sunday? Do you want, if it's a Sunday, do you want Tottenham Hotspur Football Ground, which is in North London, where they're actually opening the door? I know. They don't like
Damon, what's your team?
He's a gooner.
I'm a gooner.
He's a gooner.
Yeah, we actually said to them, we want a football team. Arsenal, Tottenham, Chelsea.
Or Crystal Palace.
And Tottenham said, yeah, we'll do it. It was a shame Arsenal didn't jump at it.
And they've given us the NFL players changing room to do this. Amazing.
You know what?
Massive.
Right, so I won't be disrespectful and wear my Arsenal top.
Okay.
But I will get down there. So let's just clear this up. You can't just turn up on the day, can you? You have to.
No.
Right.
No.
So we have to.
You've got to ring the number.
Book an appointment. And roll down at our appointment time.
Yeah. So once you ring that number, and it's a 24/7 number.
Must say United by Blood.
Yes, and say to them, in your case, you know, I want to go across to the other side, to the enemy, and in your Arsenal shirt, and give Blood, and they'll give you the slots, the time slots that are available. I mean, their slots are going, and I'm actually speaking to the Tottenham team and saying to them, it's a wow experience. Can you put on something special for those who are coming down?
Damon doesn't want
the no. I can see Damon now in the red shirt of the Gunners with the whole backup of Tottenham and going, you see, we're in the enemy turf now, you know. But yeah, that's what it is. But you have to ring and then get your time slot and then just rock up and do your business. And the great thing about it afterwards, it takes about 2 weeks or so. You get a text message.
Telling you which hospital your blood's gone.
Yeah,
to.
So you can track where that sample's gone to, and you probably know it's probably gone to another black person, especially a sickle cell person who's desperately needing that well matched blood.
Maybe a cancer patient, someone who's had a transplant, a mother who's just given birth to a baby.
Or possibly, and we hope it never happens, you know, the units of blood that are collected are to treat someone that's tragically been in some sort of things that, you know, that we're trying to get away from to help them get back into normal life. It all counts.
You know what is what I want to say for those that don't know, Bev and Oren have really helped me during my kidney transplant search. Actually, they are really like pushing me. They're really like behind me, and we've had so many conversations in various different panels about why black people don't donate organs and why we don't have these conversations. But this for me is just like, I can't get my head around why we wouldn't want to donate blood. It doesn't, I think, like when we're talking about donating organs, although I don't agree with why some people don't want to do it, I can hear it and I can understand, but this is just like, come on, man, we have to do better.
But if you think about it, Ace, this is actually what's happening at the moment with the COVID vaccines and the black community. It's this mistrust that we have.
100%. Right?
And everything, all of these awful things that have happened to us in our history, we can never, ever deny them. And we should never deny them. And we should never get them. But we're trying to move forward, you know, and this particular thing that we're talking about right now, it affects us directly. So when people are not donating, all we are helping, all we are, the people that we are affecting
is us.
Is us. Yeah.
Is us, 100%.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. Again, tell them, like, how do they get involved? How can they register?
Yeah, so Oren's going to put in the chat the telephone number so that you guys can keep saying it, please.
We will do that.
We just want people to call the priority line for United by Blood. The number is 0300 303 2737. They can book appointments in Birmingham, Manchester, Bristol, or if they're in London, they can book to donate at the Westfield Shopping Centre in Stratford or Shepherd's Bush, Tottenham Hotspur, Lambeth Town Hall in Brixton, or the West End Donor Centre, which is where I met Femi once, where he came and gave blood with us previously. That's in Oxford Circus. So five locations in London, three locations around the country.
And that on that, especially the Sunday, Father's Day, we want the black, we want men, you know, black men turning up. Even bring the family, just come down. There's gonna be a lot of culturally attuned music and style. And from the moment you walk in, you're gonna feel like, is this the right place? Because I'm hearing all these different music that's coming from the Caribbean and Africa. That's strange. And then the food I'm going to get afterwards is not your typical biscuits.
No biscuits and crisps. Oh, no. You know, they're going better.
It's jollof rice. And
so you're lying. I'm definitely coming.
Seriously. We've got it coming. Yeah, we've got it coming. We've got goodie bags, which are culturally attuned. Yes, exactly. The whole thing, the whole nine yards.
Hair products are being given out of goodie bags as well. It's yeah. amazing.
Yeah, so.
I think it's really important for us, like, you know, as a black community, we sit here, we talk about racism and we get outraged by all these different things all the time. But actually, I think it's really important that as a community, we rally around and we do the small things that we can do for ourselves. I'm a strong believer in, like, you know, like, what's my power in this situation? Because I always have power no matter what the situation is. And so our power as a community is, like, to rally around and really, like, you know, people, like, within our community, like, you know, suffering from sickle cell, and it's like, it's the most horrific, like, you know, sort of experience seeing your loved ones or family members like going through their crisis. And like, you know, and even outside of that, just like, you know, what we need to stop being preoccupied with, like, what everyone else is not doing for us, or like what this community is not doing for us, or like the Western community not fully integrating us into their society. Is that what can we do for ourselves? And this is one of those things that where we can step up and really represent for ourselves and really like look after ourselves and you know, sort of contribute to the continued existence of black people in the world.
Yeah. Exactly. So all we're saying, leaving on this note is you know, if you want to find us on social media at ACOT Charity, our website acot.org. And the final message is really, you know, we as a community right across the board have rightly said for the last year and a bit, Black Lives Matter, and telling everyone that Black Lives Matter. Well, this is our chance as a community to prove it to ourselves. This is on us. So it's up to us to step up the plate and prove that Black Lives Matter. And so, you know, as Malcolm X would say, by any means necessary. You know, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna prove it. So please can spread the message, you guys. And we would like to think this discussion is gonna take place around many barbershops and hairdressers. That, you know, are you going? Have you run? Have you made your appointment? And so on. Awesome. But we appreciate it, guys.
Thank you so much.
Hi to Lee and to Monseration. With the mask.
Okay.
Nice to see you. Thanks for having us.
Jens, thank you so much.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
take
the best.
Care. Bye-bye. Speak to you soon, Ace.
Thank you. You too.
All right, darling. Yeah,
that's
bye.
My family there. That's my family. Salute to them.
Ace, let's talk about your thing, though.
Why do we
need to push that?
We need to do our own little campaign. We need to do some awareness thing.
We're not going to talk about Monsteration.
Nah, I wanted to talk about Puffy and J-Lo.
Hey, Lee, cut it out, bro.
There's like three things. Monsteration. Ace doesn't want to talk about it. Ace Ting.
No, I do. I'm happy to talk about it. I'm still waiting for a kidney.
Ace, you ain't posting that on your story, though.
I'm
not going to post it every day. I'm a DJ.
Ace.
Yes, sir.
You're a DJ that needs a kidney. But anyway... Yeah. You know roughly Because I heard that for black people it's about 5 years for a kidney. What are you at now?
This is my May would have been 3 years.
Wow.
Of waiting on dialysis. Wow. Somebody of my age is supposed to wait 2 to 6 years. And to kind of double back from what Bevan Oren was saying, this is how bad it is. So like, it's 2 to 6 years for a black person or a black man of my age to have to wait for a kidney transplant. So I go to a dialysis unit 3 times a week, as you guys know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'm there from 6 o'clock all the way to 11 o'clock, just sitting there having dialysis. And I'm in a section with me and 3 other Asian people. Me and those 3 Asian people have been looking at each other for the last 3 years. Behind us are like white people. They come in for a couple of months and they get their transplant and they go. Whereas me and the Asian people have been sitting there for 3 years waiting because our community don't want to donate organs. That's how bad it is.
You know, what that is? We have a crab in the bucket mentality, though. We don't have no unity between us. This is why. And it's bred into us from a long time ago, you know. But we need change. We need unity. If you look at all other communities, they band together and they do well. We out here just separating, separation. It's wild what we do to ourselves, you know.
Wild. The thing is, I think the organ donation thing is different because we like what Bev was saying, like there's bit like we can't ignore the effort that's been done to us over the years. And there is mad distrust. We don't trust them to
cast
open and put things in ourselves. That we just don't trust them. We don't. And I think because of that, the knock-on effect is we are not helping each other because we don't trust them.
It's sad though. It's sad.
But I think as well, I think the frustrating for somebody like me who's in this situation is like the information's out there. If you don't necessarily know about organ donation and you don't necessarily even the operation itself, like go and find out how simple it is and how easy it is and how you can donate an organ and you can live with one kidney. All of these things, all of this information is out there for you. Go do your due diligence. Hey, don't listen to WhatsApp messages that you get from old aunties or, you know what I mean? All of these things don't help.
This is something that's on my mind, yeah?
Go for it.
And I know it must be on crazy other people's mind.
Yeah.
Bro, can I still live a full and fruitful, healthy life if I was to give you one of my kidneys?
Yes.
Active, playing football, guy raving.
Yes, 100%. That's the answer. You definitely can. Like, it won't impact. Other than the operation itself, it won't impact on your life. And even that, apparently, you'll be out in a couple of days. It's not like...
So how does someone...
keyhole surgery.
So someone could say...
What? To Wait, whoa, whoa, hold on.
Keyhole.
Yes, yeah, keyhole.
They pulled my kidney out of a keyhole.
Apparently, it's keyhole surgery.
Ace.
That's all right.
They pulled my kidney out of a keyhole.
It's keyhole Ace. Surgery. I'm dead serious. Look,
why are you so shocked? Now. I saw you pull one of your own dreadlocks out the other day. Why you look so shocked? It's possible, bro.
They do amazing things today with technology.
Absolutely.
No, but Ace, sorry. So someone could just say, does it need to match? I don't get it.
Sorry. Yeah it needs, this is it. Because it needs to be same blood group and tissue type, and that is going to be from a black person. The thing is, I probably could get a kidney from a white person, but the chances of it failing are bigger than it being if it was a black person.
Very high.
That's kind of pop down. Yeah.
And how do they know it's going to fail when they put it in?
Yeah, it won't, my body might reject it or it'll fail.
So these times, the man had the surgery, he's taking his thing out, he puts it in you and it don't even work.
That's another thing that I feel like black people are thinking about. Like, what if it doesn't work?
No, I'm thinking about if my thing, if I give you my thing,
and it doesn't work,
my thing goes bad, are you giving my thing back?
Let's stop this. Let's stop this because Ace is not going to get a kidney if Lee keeps running
it,
around.
I know, exactly.
So I put out my thing and put it in your thing. Are you all right, bro? You know how that sounds?
I'm just saying what everyone's thinking, innit? If I need my thing back, am I going to get it back? Because you know how black people want their things back after a while, you know?
You're not going to get it back, is it? That's basically it.
You know, but black man get a backache and start saying, nah, it's because my kidney's gone missing, innit? Nah, I need that back.
No, honestly, you know how honestly, before, though, man. Honestly, what can we do to, like,
speed this up
other ways of, yeah man,
yeah, how can we push this for you, Ace?
I just feel like it's this, I feel like we need to have more conversations, and like I won't even lie, like people have come forward and some people have been tested. I'm not, you guys know me, I'm not the kind of person that's going to call up someone every day and be like, yo, did you get tested? That's not,
how do you get tested, what's the procedure for that?
Do you know what? Bev and Oren would have been a perfect people to have done this whole conversation, but I've sent everybody to them. ACLT, hit up the ACLT. They will give you... and again, I'm not the only person waiting for a kidney, you know? There's bare black people. It's not just me. So even if you don't match me, I'll think it would be amazing if you could donate to somebody else. I'm seeing young black people. There's so many black people that need it.
Once people get tested, you're there, willing for the people to come and take your kidney. So I'm not gonna say, nah, if it's not for Ace, leave it in my body. Nah, take your kidney. If you got, you understand what I'm saying? Like, so it's not a case. Obviously, there's thousands of black people that need kidneys. But so you're saying, get hold of Bev and Oren.
ACLT.org, I believe, is the website. That's the website for me.
Yeah.
ACLT.org, email them, say, I would like to get tested to be an organ donor, and they will give you all of the information you need. And if you do that from the bottom of my heart, I'd appreciate it. Not even just for me, just for all the other people that I've been seeing waiting for this thing. Because it's not fun. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't complain. I come in, I just do the show. I do my, almost said six, seven radio shows a week. I just get on with life. But I'll be honest, it's hard. I'm sitting here in this chair right now, knackered. I'm about to go off, get off this Zoom in a minute to do another interview. I'm working hard. And those, I'd love to have those 18 hours back from my week. I mean, that I have to sit in hospital. I'd love to have them back. I'd love to be able to take my kids on holiday. I can't do that. All of these things. So, yeah, if you have an opportunity, ACLT.org, hit them up and find out how you can be an organ donor. It would be amazing.
No pressure, but...
Way man's rooting for you, bro.
No pressure, but we have to do more than root. Like, you know, if we can, we should explore ways to donate. Like, just...
Brother, why do you think I'm asking? I think I should go and get tested.
No, I feel like the root... Like, this is what
we... I feel like we should go.
A lot of us, like, in our community, we do this, like, oh, you know what? I'm rooting for you, man. I'll tag you. All the
best. Are you in my prayers, fam?
Yeah, man.
I think you might be a bit mashed up, though. Hey,
you know what? God has answered the prayer already.
Might be a bit... You get me? My kid has got a few miles on the clock, G.
Yeah, no. I don't know about yours, bro.
It's yours. It's yours if it matches, all right.
I need to go in about 10 minutes, but I really want to ask everybody... Do you not see the picture of that Puffy posted recently of him and J-Lo?
Yeah.
Do
you rate that?
Bro, he's an idiot. Why would you do that?
Where's that picture?
So he posted last week a picture of him and J-Lo from back in the day.
Throwback Thursday, did it? It's a throwback picture, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Do you rate that?
Nah, man, that's wrong, bro.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't need to see the picture.
No, basically,
we know who Puffy is. I mean, he used to be with J-Lo. He just posted a picture of them when they were in a relationship. And he didn't say nothing under, no caption. It just says Throwback Thursday. It seems that he's shooting his shot. Do you rate that? Do you rate him doing that? She's with Ben Affleck now, apparently. Or they've been seen together.
He's gone back.
They are together. I swear that there's best shots of them together now.
Do you not rate that? Is that how you get your ex back?
I rate that.
Why?
I rate that.
I don't rate it.
No, I rate that. I rate that. Because you know what he's saying?
What?
I hit it first. Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. straight up and down. Man saying, yeah, you might be in the 90 now, but I mashed up that coochie before you, cuz.
That's
imagine you do that and she don't even come back.
Exactly.
What are you saying? Is Diddy the one that dated that girl as well? That was his son's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Nah, he's toxic. He's toxic, man.
Brother, I was rooting for you, Diddy.
What's worse, what Diddy did or what Neymar did?
Oh, what? Who done?
Neymar.
What did Neymar?
That to his Neymar, Neymar went to his ex girl's wedding because he said he wanted to be there and have his day of her life.
Yeah.
What?
Bad man.
What? He went to his ex girl's wedding.
Yeah, because he wanted to be there the happiest day of her life. He promised he'll be there on the happiest day of her life.
My
daughter on the gram.
And stood in the back. Worth 100 mil, just stood in the back.
He's in the pictures.
He's at the back. He was just. I don't know if it's a true story though. To be fair, but that was going around.
Lee, did you see her face?
I was her husband. I'll beat him up.
Punch him up.
She looked fuming, blood. She didn't look impressed.
Oh my god!
Punch him up. No way. That's
the way I was slide tackling him. Slide tackling him at the wedding, cuz.
Punch him up.
Oh gosh! Now, I don't know why he done that. He seems quite emotional as he's getting older. He seems quite up and down, innit?
Man changed his name to Love.
I know, innit? Is it Brother Love?
Yeah, Brother Love.
Brother Love, you know. He's a bit temperamental, man. I think he's going through a midlife.
Oh, mate! I think he's getting PTSD from Biggie, bro. Because what's all that about?
But the thing is, all right. J Lo and Diddy were the elite couple, though. Like,
they were cold
together, bro. They was like, they had on the velour tracksuits.
Yeah, they made it a lifestyle.
They made it a lifestyle, 100%. They were elite. But yeah, we can't do it again in 2021.
Why?
Nah, it's done. It's finished.
She's still fire, though.
She's solid still.
Solid, like a 2 pound
coin. But you got to remember, yeah? Look at the politics with Jamie Foxx. And how he did a whole, not a whole show, but he just talked about how she was a bit of a junge back in the day, innit? That's like you having your wifey and me telling people that she's a super junge and you just got to hold it.
Why did you have to take the podcast there right at the end of it?
Well, you know, it wouldn't be the same if I didn't. he said before the J-Lo, it was hey-ho.
Yeah, he did say that. He did say that.
I heard it first.
Right, I need to bounce. Are you lot staying on?
I think we're saying bless up and going.
All right, listen, Montserration, it's been a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you for having me, man. Thank you.
Will you not come back again soon?
Whenever you'll have me.
Damon, where's the baby?
Where's the baby?
Where's Blanket?
I was jamming with the baby all
day. These are bad, man.
We was having fun. We went for a little walk, looking in the garden, jamming. It's all right. I can't lie. Yeah, you see babies that do nothing. It's still tiring. Like, yeah. Bro, I've got to take my hat off to all the mums out there that are doing this thing on their own. Because you
it's
see,
tiring because you have to still watch them. You still have to keep an eye on them.
You know how many times, I walk in the room. You see when he's sleeping, you know how many times I walk up to him to make sure he's breathing?
Yeah, you do it all the time.
Like, you have to, bro.
You can't sleep easy with a baby. It's impossible.
If it's not that, I'm washing his clothes, I'm washing dishes, I'm washing my clothes. Listen, there's no time. I get it now. You know when you hear a new mum say, they're sleep deprived, and you're like, yeah, but when the baby sleeps, you sleep. I'm happy, but and this is on a good day. See when he's like he's going for a leap and he's a bit miserable. Oh, it's peak. It's a bit mad. But yeah, best thing ever. It's good. He's all right.
You still taking the vitamins?
Who, me?
Yeah.
So I had a conversation with some people the other day, and I've just decided I'm just gonna spoil him, innit? Like, he's getting spoiled. It's not even a problem. He's getting spoiled, innit? But is there such thing as good spoiling, or is just spoiling? Is it just one
That's all right.
It never works that, bro.
You do your thing, spoil him, and then when all the man in my day, and he said, "Oh, that's sharp, man." we all just look at each other and say nothing, and then we just rip you, and you're not there. Yeah, man. That's what I mean, man. That's what happens when you spoil the youth, man. You just get run.
Lee, how's auntie?
She's all right, you know. I wasn't about last week, so I think she found someone else. I might text her and say, you know, I'm about still. I could have done with her today, actually.
Auntie sounds lucrative. I've been listening about this auntie. She sounds lucrative.
Cause... Yeah, man. Peace. Yeah.
Number. You man are out here dissing Africans. Don't know they could be your biggest customer, Lee.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And I miss her, man.
My last question
I just want to know how she's doing, man.
Did you miss her that much?
No. Oh. Did I send you a picture of what she done to the cab?
Man, missed it. The what did she do in the cab, Lee?
I sent them. She left. Did I send it to the group?
Yeah, you did. Bear rubbish and all that in the back.
She left mango,
chicken bones.
Mango skin and chicken bones.
Yeah, mango skin, the top of the strawberry, banana skin. She left the whole banquet in the back.
Speaking of banquets. Yeah? Huh? Speaking of banquets, Femi, have you bought them Bel Air Mansion yet?
No, man.
Are we close?
Yeah, it's kind of long, man.
That means yes.
No, we've not done it. I'm just tired of it, man. I'm a bit bored now.
Femi, if you buy a house with a basement, I'm hitting back the roads, bro.
I love you guys.
Taking too long, brother.
What's taking too long?
The legit thing, fam. Man talking about house of a smoking room and that. Are you all right? Might have to break out the Pyrex street, boy.
Brother, you can't say that. You just bought a dog that cost about $5,000 the other day. What are you talking about?
Oh, steady on, my guy. Steady on. What's all that about?
I think it's one of them cross between a Saturn and a tiger, something like that.
What dog is it, Mark? Mediterranean.
Frenchie thing.
Oh, you got the Frenchie?
Yeah, I got a Frenchie. The family, I got outvoted, didn't it?
That's how it goes sometimes, man. Sometimes you got to take the L, man. Who's doing the morning walk?
Take the L. No, brother, no. That was the first condition to getting the Frenchie. I'm not involved in no form of work.
You know what? Do you know what? This is actually, there's a few relationship callers that I wasn't even going to bother going into, but let's just do a quick one now, yeah? And it's on this subject right now. So, guy's family, didn't want no pets, certainly didn't want a dog. The wife has brought home a dog. His anti-dog, no dogs, no dogs, no dogs. Kids love the dog, wife loves the dog. The dog's been in the yard for about a week and a half. His anti-dog. They come home one day and the dog was gone. Where's the dog? Myra said I got rid of it.
My guy.
He's my hero. He's my hero.
That's my guy.
That's how you run it. That's how you take control.
That's rude. As a man,
I don't want a dog. And you're telling me you're bringing a dog home. So therefore, it's the ultimatum, me or the dog. I made the decision. It was me, innit? I'm here now. The dog ate. What? You gave me a choice. I made the choice. I'm staying here. The dog ate. That's it. What kind of disrespect is that?
Femi, you agree?
100%.
Yeah, man.
Are you taking a mic?
Furthermore, anyone got anything to say, you go where the dog went.
No. Are you taking an absolute mic? I told you I don't like dogs, yeah? It's my house. Yeah? And listen, I'm the leader of your household, yeah?
I'm the king.
I'm the leader. I'm leader of your household. I say we are not having a dog. You're going to defy me by bringing home a dog.
I said defying.
Everybody likes this dog, right? But if I tell you, yeah, I don't like something and everybody likes it, does that mean that I start to like it too? No way. No.
Listen, if that's the case, listen, if I was in that predicament, I'm bringing home a baby.
What?
Yeah, I just bring home a baby.
Wow.
Then what? Wow.
Fam, it's like, no, but it sounds
bringing a dog home is like bringing back a kid anyway.
Bringing a child. It sounds ridiculous what Lee's saying, yeah? But it's like randomly rocking up with a child saying, oh, yeah,
I mean,
man just adopted this one still.
I mean, you know, my girlfriend.
You know, it's funny, though. I got a friend who never owned a dog as a young'un, thought it'd be great to buy it as an adult, and didn't realise what it entailed. Do you get what I'm saying? Just rolled up, then all he wanted to complain about is the vet bills, can't go on holiday because, you know, he thought he could palm the dog off from people that on other dog owners say, oh, I'm going away, would you look after my dog? And they were like, no. Brother, like they didn't know how much hard work it is having a dog. You have to walk it in the day, you have to walk it in the night. It
was the whole dynamic of my house has changed now, bro.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Planning a day trip out is a different story now. Now we need dog sitter.
Yeah.
Now we have to go to a dog friendly place. I'm a flipping dog owner.
Oi,
brother. Hey.
Are you being certain man's house when they got dog, big dog as well? The house stinks and you can't even tell them.
No. That was the second condition. Big man, your house stinks,
you know? That was supposed to shit or dog food.
I'm laughing because I know it.
You know that one day when you go in someone's house and you can smell the dog. Smells like
from the doorstep. Dog from the doorstep, but I'm strong and that, and the dogs will find I knew. You can't even say nothing. The dog's
banging,
looking at your leg.
At the whole yard.
Yeah.
When they open that tin of food and the whole yard stinks out again, you're like, what is that smell, man?
Hey, you ever been in your bedroom yard? He's got a dog and a dog fart.
I have smart.
The rank, that is rank. It's a different level, cuz.
So my man done the right thing then. Just get rid of the dog.
Get rid of the dog,
get
man.
Get rid of the dog, fam.
No, all right. Lele.
All right.
Dogs are not for Christmas and they're not for this house either. You get me?
What's the next one?
Huh?
Yeah, what's do one more. Yeah, do one more.
We've done a similar thing before. All right, so hold on 1 second.
Right, got a man done.
He just left.
All right, yo. Yeah, no, I had to go and look at it quickly. Couple dating. Couple dating. Basically, the family aren't taken to the girl. The family aren't taken to the girl. They don't think the girl's good enough for my man. Blah, 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 blah. The guy's got pee. Family aren't taking to him. They basically think that the girl is just out for his pee. Yeah. What he's saying, though, is even if you think he's out for my pee, even if he's out for my pee, let me make that mistake all of my own. So, and it's basically caused a rift to the point where the family, like, they now don't really want nothing to do with him because they know that he knows that they don't like her, but he's choosing them over her. So his argument is, should you lot just hold your mouth and let me crack on and still be around because you're my family, basically, because he ain't leaving the girl.
Boy, I don't know. I reckon, listen, obviously he's got pee, he's a grown man. I reckon everyone can mind their own business.
For real, though.
Mind your own business.
The girl hasn't actually done anything. Like, she hasn't actually done anything. Like, she does. What? The only thing is she doesn't work. But she hasn't actually done anything to
him. She don't work.
What color are these people? What race are they?
I'm not getting into... Actually, they're black.
Yeah, I reckon everyone should just let everyone live, man. If you have to live to make your own mistakes. It's only love. We live, we love, we get our heart broken, then we love some more. You might get broken, you might find the one. But, bruv, every relationship is there's pitfalls in it. You just have to let man do his own thing, boom, boom, boom. But give him advice. Make sure you don't get rinsed. No, it's never
nice. In the beginning of the relationship.
About 8 months in.
Yeah, but he's still drilling at his peas, boy. It is what it is, man. Everyone's drilling at peas in the first 8 months anyway, so it is what it is anyway.
Is that he's done this stuff before, where he's gone above and beyond holidays, gifts, all of that stuff, and he's gone perfect.
That's just his character, though, isn't it? If that's his character, that's his character. He can't stop being who he is, isn't it?
Yeah,
because I'm sure you that he would do that for a poor thing or a rich one. So,
yeah, but is he trying to find love through his wallet, though?
Boy, so that's certain man's game, isn't it? No, but some people like. Some people are givers, innit? And some people are takers, innit?
Yeah.
And like, if you're genuinely doing it because you want to go on holiday with this person and you like this gift that you want to give them, then you got to do it, innit? You can't just hold back because you're trying to test. Well, I don't know, man. Kind of before all that stuff starts happening, I feel like I kind of know that person a little bit before I start doing all that, taking it on holiday and doing this and that, because, you know what I mean? The last thing you want to do is be on holiday together. You can't even stand it.
Okay. Fair enough. But are you getting involved? Monteration, as a family member, you can see that your brother is that guy that just gives. He's been bummed before. Are you standing aside and letting him crack on? Are you actively trying to be like your rude boy?
I'm not too... Okay, so you know me already, yeah? I'm too vocal. I'm telling my man, yo, listen, you have to knock that on the head. Knock it on the head. Like, I will be vocal to a point. I will be vocal, then I will be vocal some more. Once I see that you're just down to get taken for a muck, I'm just going to let you get taken for a muck. That's your lane.
You know what?
Because you're a grown man.
Back in the day, yeah, my brethren was a bit of a serial, like, he's not dater, but he used to go, he's always, no one of the people was in a relationship, yeah? One day we were all playing computer. Oh, he had like a little night, a little games night, whatever, all the men have come over, introduced us to the new one, innit? Yeah? And when we've gone there, you know, like before, he used to kick ball, innit? So they were like trophies. These girls, they were real. You know, like the man who would get together, start when they saw his girl, we all huddled together like, I know you're doing it, and it's humble. But the caliber of girl was getting less and less and less, to the point of this thing. I shouldn't even say this is bad. She had a boss eye. She was just, you know, like we walked in like, what the hell is going on here? So like, me, while she's cooking food for the man them, you know, she was actually cooking food for the man them, yeah, and we were. My brother just spoke up. He was like, listen, that girl you've got here, that's what are you doing? Like, and he's being sincere when you're saying it. He goes, that girl, that anyone in here could probably draw that girl right now. Like, why are you with her? Let me just tell you something. That didn't end well. Man said, that's my wifey and I love her. After that statement was made, I was like, man ain't going to hear this, man. No one's going to hear this. But the whole dynamics of the person that said it to him, they're not the same no more since that day.
Bro,
they were tight friends from school.
You see, certain man, you cannot come between them and their gal with a crowbar, a bomb jacket. It's not going to happen, bro. I've had bridging. Listen, I don't even care. This guy's a donut. Bro, I had a bridging before, yeah? He had a ting. And I didn't know the ting's history until we all went out somewhere and we see one of my cousins. Yeah, my cousin said, "Oi, listen."
Oi, when I'm saying, "Oi, listen,"
blood. The way my cousin drew me to the side and said, "Oi, tell your bridging, stop lipsing up that thing," because I said, "Why?" Man said, "Fam, tell your bridging, stop lipsing up that thing," because I knew from then what it was. Later on, my cousin gave me the whole info, bro. The things the man have suckled. You've met her somewhere else. Now she's profiling like she's Prince of Sheba, like Prince some princess. Yeah? You don't know her history. She's a bicycle in her manner.
No, listen.
She was a bicycle, bro. So now I'm So my cousins give me the information. I roll with my bridging. I decide to say, do you know what? I can't let this slide, innit? It's me and him. We in the car say to him, listen, bro, I've come into some information. Yeah? And I let him have it. You know the man turned up at my doorstep with the girl to confront me. Yeah, tell her what you said. I said, bro, you a dickhead. Bro, you a dickhead. Blood, I swear to God, it was nearly a fight on my doorstep, bro. Because I had to say, Blood, are you a fucking idiot? Like, the way she's profiled, it's not true, this, that, and the other. Bro, you can't get between certain man and their girl. After that, I just learned, mind your own business.
Which leads me onto what you were saying about this girl, this guy that's spending money on this girl, because he sounds like that type of person anyway.
Go on, fam. What's fam? What?
This is getting to the zone where I have to leave very briskly. So I'll see you guys soon, yeah? Bye.
Remy said he don't want no more, boy. He said he don't want no more.
Look, I mean, I don't... Look, everybody's got a history. And if somebody decides that today I'm going to walk down that path, because I've always said this, bro, don't tell me about yesterday or the day before. If I decide to wake up today, I've woken up today. The past is the past, isn't it? Like, you don't know. Like, him and that person could turn out to be the happiest couple in the world. Okay, yeah, he's got a little history. You haven't got a little history. Yes, there's a lot of people that have done things that they're probably not proud of in the past, but fam, if you're together and you're cracking on and you're making it happen, make it happen, bro.
No, but I hear what you're saying, but you're saying it that is the ideal way of it. But we as men don't think like that realistically, do we? Because we've all got pride, we've all got ego. Right. So if you're going out with someone, and I tell you, me as well, say that girl you're going out with has drilled about 5 of my bridges, there's no way you're going to act like you can just hold that down like it's nothing. You're going to feel a type of way about it.
Listen. I'm going to keep doing my thing, but we're just not going to be around your regions, that's all.
Yeah, but you won't. I guarantee you won't be able to hack it. If I said to you, D, that gal has run all the man names to run, everyone was linking it out at one point, bruv, allow it, get rid of that. And D, just
I ain't
even
going to lie. I'll be the type of brother, I'll walk past and say, oh, God, she likes it if you whisper in her ear. I'm keep it pushing.
It hurts, bruv.
All right, we're treading on dangerous ground. Let's wrap it up there, because boy, none of us can see the comments. So I don't know what's popping in there right now.
Yeah, that's for real.
Let's just wrap it up there. Monster Action, nice for landing. Don't be a stranger. Any tips to stay safe on the road?
Mind your own business.
Are you telling people not to get involved in any roadway situations as well?
Nah, I'm just saying, everybody, just do you, live life, be happy, and just make it home, innit? Everyone make it home.
And don't stick it on people at roundabouts.
Yeah. Stay in your vehicle. Stay in your vehicle. You get me? Stay in your vehicle. It's not worth it. It's not worth
cool. Thank you very much, Lee. Done though. No tasks from the camp. Not from the camp this week.
But I'm going back to graph right now. If I pick up someone, I pick up someone, blood. You man had me for nearly 2 hours, bro. I've got to make papers now.
The way he's driving, he looks like a getaway driver.
Yeah. But I'm trying to get away from you, man, right now and get these readies.
All right, cool. Well, Mandem, next week, innit? Kaya,
yeah.
Thank you very much.
I remember, people, stay black. Can I say that?
I don't think they've got a choice.
I'm going to have to delete that.